1198, and some I know have recently purchased Scofield Bibles, and they're hoping that I'll call out the page numbers, and I do that from time to time just to be an encouragement to folks. And if you have arrived there in Romans chapter 6, we're going to begin reading tonight in verse number 11. The Bible says here, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Tonight, a message titled, "Yield Yourselves to God," or "Why Yield Yourself Unto God." And so tonight, as we look to the Word of God, let's ask the Lord's blessing upon this time and His Word. Heavenly Father, we pray that Thy Spirit would speak to our hearts. We pray that as we look into the truth, that You would convict us where conviction is needed. Would You comfort us where that comfort is needed? And might You find liberty in every heart, we pray. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen. Before I came into the service tonight, I spoke to different members of my family. My brother Paul called me and was very concerned about my father's health situation. And as I talked to my mother, I realized that there have been two major mistakes made by the physicians that are treating my dad. They made a mistake in the surgery, and they did some grievous things wrong in the course of the operation. And then they prescribed the exact opposite medication for another condition that has exacerbated all of it. So they've made two grievous mistakes. And through it all, do you know what they're saying? "Now we want you to do exactly what we tell you to do." And as silly as that sounds, there are a lot of people that go to the doctor, and doctors make mistakes all the time. That's why they have malpractice insurance, because they're not perfect. And they say, "We want you to put your health in our hands. Yield your health unto us." And I think that that would give rise to the simple question, why should I do a thing like that? And really, they may say, "Well, you know, I've made a couple of mistakes in your treatment and care, and according to the law of averages, from this point forward, I'm going to do a great job for you. Because in a year's time, I may not make that many mistakes, and I've probably made all the mistakes that I'm ever going to make on you already, so you don't have to worry about any further mistakes, based on the law of averages." Now, you might look at that and you say, "Well, based on the law of averages, it makes sense. I should yield myself unto this doctor who's probably made all the mistakes on me that they're going to make on me. They're worried about getting sued and their malpractice premiums going up, so they're probably going to do a better job on me. Therefore, I should yield myself unto this doctor based on the law of averages and the fact that they don't want to get sued and they really want to do a good job for me from this point forward because they've really messed my health up really bad. So I should therefore yield my health unto the doctor." Now you might say, I don't know, I think I want to get another opinion. Right? I think I'd like to go on WebMD.com and do some research. I think I'd like to get a referral to another doctor. I think I'd like to go to an out-of-plan physician and see what they might have to say about how to take care of my situation. Well, if you want to look at it purely from a logical standpoint and deal with just the law of averages, I got to tell you something. God has never yet made a mistake, and by the way, He never will because He's God. And when He says, I want you to yield yourself unto Me, you can do so with confidence, knowing that He's never lost a patient and He never will. You can with great confidence place your life in the care of the One that will never fail you. Friends, tonight sometimes we come to the Lord with great and vexing problems and we ask God for His deliverance. And when it doesn't come in the form that we would choose, sometimes in our hearts we reason that God has failed. I want to tell you that many times, many hours I prayed for Mary Robeson to be raised up to strength again. And we rejoiced to see the news piece that was run on Channel 3. And we prayed, and then when we learned that the staph infection had overtaken her and that she was in critical condition, some people mused within themselves thinking, God has somehow let us down here. And yet remember that we prayed for His healing. And the moment she opened her eyes in glory, she experienced the ultimate healing. Friends, today Mary had a bad back and she had a bad neck and she had a bunged up hip and she had all kinds of physical maladies and she had to wear glasses and she had to wear dentures and she had problem after problem. And I got to tell you something, it wasn't just the back that got okay. It wasn't just the infection that was eradicated. It wasn't just the hip that was fixed. She was made every whit perfectly whole, robed upon with a glorified body. And so when God didn't answer the prayer in the manner that we thought He should answer it, it didn't mean that He failed, because I'll tell you what, He answered it in a better way than we could have ever chosen. Jesus never fails. And He says, yield yourselves unto God. Why should we do that? Well, the Bible gives us some things here in this passage of Scripture that beg our attention for a few moments tonight. And as we consider this, I want us to look at four reasons to yield ourselves to God from the Word here. And as we see them, the Bible says in verse 7, he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, he's talking about the old man that has been crucified with Christ. The old man with his sinful nature was nailed to the cross of Calvary, and when that took place, I was freed forever from the bondage of sin. The Bible says in verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Now, before I go right into these reasons, I want to tell you the reasons why not to yield yourself to God. Okay? May I do that? Don't yield yourselves unto God because you think He's going to get you if you don't. Because these are none of the reasons listed in the Scripture. Nowhere does it say yield unto God or else He's really going to get you good. Have you found that anywhere in the Scripture? So that's not a reason to yield yourself unto God. Don't yield yourself unto God because He's going to trouble you and make your life miserable if you don't. Nowhere in the Bible do I find anything like that. Don't yield yourself to God because you think if you don't, He's going to ruin your marriage and kill your kids. I've heard some preaching like that. I've heard people that have stood up and said, I'm called of God, and bless God, I know that if I run turncoat from the calling of God in my life, that something terrible is going to happen to me. I'll probably kill my kids and mess up with my marriage and all of these things. Listen, that's not the kind of God we have. You see, these are admonitions. And yes, they are directives for the child of God, but you have a choice on the basis of that admonition. So I don't do it because I think that I'm going to lose my salvation, or God's really going to get me, or God's going to take my wife and kill my kids. Those are not the reasons why I yield myself unto God. Whenever Paul wrote to the church at Rome, he appealed to them on the basis of the goodness of God to them, on the basis of His love for them, on the basis of His mercies and His grace and His compassion. Why then is it that you and I oftentimes listen to different preaching and maybe are filled with fear when we think, boy, if I don't yield myself to the Lord, something terrible is going to happen to me. Now, I got to tell you something. You might decide, I'm not going to yield myself unto God, and God in love may bring you back by means of force to the place that He wants you to be, but that's not God punishing you. That's God in love bringing you back to the place you need to be. Now, when my children misbehave, and I got four wonderful daughters and two wonderful sons, and I love them all, but you know, I got to tell you, there are times when I have to firmly bring them back to the position that they need to be, and it's not because I dislike them or because I'm trying to harass or trouble them, though at that instant they might feel like it, but it's for their ultimate good and for their benefit. Why do I do it? Because I love them. And it's in their best interest to yield their will, the will of their daddy at that point. Now, with that in our minds, I want us to see the right reasons. I've given you four reasons not to yield. All right? Now, here's four positive, motivating reasons to yield yourself unto God. And that is, first of all, freedom. Yield yourself to God because He has freed you to choose to yield yourself unto Him. He doesn't constrain you. He doesn't force Himself upon you. God is a perfect gentleman. He doesn't make demands of people. He makes requests of you. And He has not eradicated your will. That's why the Bible says you're free. You're free. He set us free from the bondage of sin. It says, He that is dead is freed from sin. Why would I, being dead to sin, choose to yield my members or my hands and my feet, my body, to the use of sin that would yield only unrighteous fruit? But when I understand I've been set free from all the havoc that that would wreak in my life, not only in this life, but that which is to come, it is a great reason for me to say, I am going to yield myself as an act of my free will to the One that has set me free. The One who has never failed me, nor will fail me. He is absolutely trustworthy. He set me free from the bondage of sin. Again, we find it in verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Okay? So I'm free from sin. But here we understand that this is a passage that is being written to Christians. And they still have a will in this matter. And they can still yield their members as instruments of sin unto unrighteousness, or they can yield their instruments, their hands, their feet, their lips, their mind, their eyes, as instruments of righteousness unto God. It's a choice that they have to make. Now they can say, okay, the One who has been my liberator is calling me to choose to yield myself unto Him. Or they can say, the One in whom I was bondage to now calls for my hands and my feet, my mind and my eyes, my lips and my ears, and I choose to yield myself there. Because the one that you yield to is the one that you are serving. The one that you yield to is the one that you serve. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve two masters at the same time. You're either serving one or the other, but not both. And so when we follow after self-will, when we follow after the impulses of the flesh, we have chosen with our freedom to serve sin. That's what the Bible teaches us right here. And you're free to choose that. And whatever you yield yourself to, you are the servant of. You're the servant of it. It will place you in bondage. I know people that say, well, you know, I'm not going to be anybody's servant or in bonds to anyone. I think about the children of Israel and how arrogant they were when they tried to self-justify to the Lord. And they say, well, we're the children of Abraham and we've never been in bondage to anybody while they're in bondage to Rome. You know, they're trying to convince the Lord that they're not in bondage. And sometimes we try to self-justify and say, well, you know what, I may be not doing everything just so, but you know what, I'm not really in bondage to anyone or anything. I've known people that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and made a genuine profession of faith in Christ, and they have begun following after the lifestyle of drugs. Or they've begun following after the lifestyle of alcohol, and what has happened is they yielded their members to that, and guess what? They became the servant of it. Because it's what they thought about when they woke up in the morning. They went to work so they could have enough money to get the next fix, the next high, the next buzz, or whatever it was that they were looking for, and they became the servant of that. That became more important than paying the rent or paying the bills. What was all important was them getting the fix. Why? They yielded their members as instruments of sin, of unrighteousness unto sin. They chose to yield themselves to that sin. And in so doing, they became the servants of it in bondage to it. There are those that give themselves over to lasciviousness and wantonness and sexual perversion and immorality. And they yield their members as instruments of unrighteousness unto the sin. And guess what? You can't serve God and that. And whatever you yield to, that is what you are the servant of. That is what you are in bondage to. There are 12-step programs till the cows come home, but most of us are well aware that there are sexual addiction 12-step programs and drug addiction and all kinds of other things. There are recovery groups for people that are involved in codependencies and all sorts of things. Why? Because people have chosen to yield their instruments unto unrighteousness, and they have become the servants of sin. Why would you not choose the liberator, the one that has freed you from all of those oppressive things that will only hurt you, and choose to serve the one that has set you free from the bondage and the tyranny of that? Now, you and I are free from sin, but we can still choose to serve it and become servants of it. You can. And still be the child of God. Still be sanctified unto the Lord positionally, though not practically. You can still be counted and imputed the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we have to understand that the Bible says, reckon yourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. And that word reckon is a financial or an accounting term that means to go to the record and take consideration of this thing, that you are dead to sin and alive to God. You are free from the bondage and the tyranny of sin. And now you no longer are constrained to serve it. So yield yourselves as instruments of righteousness unto God as those that are alive from the dead. You're free. So why should I yield myself unto God? Because He has liberated you. He has set you free from the bondage and the tyranny and the oppression of that sin. You know, sometimes we can start to head down a road in our lives, and there are many people here that can bear witness to the fact that once you start going in a certain direction, it's very difficult to turn around. And really what God wants you to do is at the point that you understand I have become the servant to this thing that I'm involving myself in, it's enslaving me, you need to turn and just yield yourself unto God. Reckon yourself as dead to that thing, but alive unto God, and say, I choose as an act of my free will, liberated by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, to yield my instruments unto God as those that are alive from the dead. I'm free to do it. I'm free to do it. I'm not constrained to do it. Don't do it because you have to. Do it because God has freed you to do it. And because you love what He has accomplished in your life and what He has set you free from. That you can do nothing else in your heart except yield yourself as instruments unto the Lord as those that are alive from the dead. I know I probably could never begin to do any justice to this. There are whole volumes written on the sixth chapter of Romans alone. But I want to, just in a concise way tonight, share these thoughts with you and hopefully stir you up and encourage your heart. I want you to notice here as well that the Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How should we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, there are a lot of people that say, well, you Bible thumpers that believe in once saved, always saved, you're antinomianists. And that means that we deny the law, no law. Well, friends, I got to tell you something. We don't deny the law. We understand that the law serves a valid purpose, and that is to condemn us. It can never justify us. That's it. That's the primary purpose that the law serves, is to bring us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly there are things that can be learned. No doubt that there are things contained in the law that stand as a means of expressing God's desire for how His children should be sanctified in Him. Nobody's denying that fact. But they say, well, you say that when you get saved, you can do anything you want to and still go to heaven. Well, that's absolutely the truth, because that's absolutely what the Bible teaches. But here is the asterisk to that, and that is this. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Since God is abundant in grace and that He's covered our sins with His blood, past, present, and future, shall we go ahead and just keep on sinning and doing whatever our flesh leads us to do because God's grace is abundant? You know what the Bible teaches us? God forbid. God forbid that we should continue in sin. Why? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So we who believe in once saved, always saved, understand that the Bible teaches that we don't just go out and serve sin. He said, God forbid. God forbid that we should go out and abuse the grace of the Lord, because we think that once we're saved, we're always saved, and we can continue doing whatever we want to. We have a choice to continue loving and serving God rather than yielding ourselves unto sin. God forbid that we should continue in sin. God forbid, it says. And so we understand we're free to choose that, because look, we're dead to sin, but alive unto God. And we're free from sin, the Bible says in verse number 18. The second reason why we should yield ourselves unto God is not only because we're free to do so and because God has freed us from the bondage and the tyranny of sin, but also because of forgiveness. Forgiveness. Do you know what the Lord has done? He has freed us from the penalty of our sin. Now, the Bible says here in verse number 10, for in that he died unto sin once. And in that he liveth unto God. So when Jesus went to Calvary, He said the words, it is finished. You know what that meant? There would never be another need for Him to go back and make another sacrifice. There would never be a need from that point forward for a goat or a bull to be offered upon the altar of sacrifice. You know why? Because one sacrifice was made once for all for sin. And the Bible says it many times in the book of Hebrews. And if we go through and would detail all of those scriptures tonight, we would understand that there remaineth now therefore no more sacrifice for sin. Why? Because in that He died unto sin once. So when Jesus paid it all, He took care of all of my sin, past, present, and future. And even though I know the Bible says God forbid that I should continue in sin, seeing that God's grace is abundant, I recognize that should I sin, I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is that which satisfies the demands of a holy law. Jesus Christ, the propitiation, is that which satisfies the holy demands of a holy law in my stead. Why? Because Jesus Christ came forth in absolute righteousness once and for all to pay the price for all of my sin, and He offered me forgiveness in full, and He set me free from the debt and the consequence of my sin. Yeah, good. You're free from the consequence of the sin. So, if you've been set free and you've been forgiven, now here's the one who has offered you the forgiveness. And by the way, I want to tell you that forgiveness is also an accounting term. And what it means is forgiveness on the basis of price paid in full. God didn't just let us off the hook. He didn't just say, all right, let's let bygones be bygones. We'll just sweep it under the rug here. No, He satisfied the just demands of a holy law. He paid the price in full and was absolutely righteous in saying, I forgive the sin debt. The debt is canceled. You're free from being a servant to sin. You're forgiven from the consequence and the wages of sin. Now, there are wages of sin. Wages of sin is death. Certainly there are things that die whenever we choose to serve sin. I recently talked to a teenager who was struggling with smoking marijuana. And I said, you know, you're killing all those brain cells. Pretty soon you're going to... You know, it's kind of like, you know, this is your brain, this is your brain on drugs. You know, something is going to die if you continue to serve that sin. True or false? It's just going to happen. All right, the wages of sin is death physically. If I choose to abuse my body with alcohol, I'll get cirrhosis of the liver. If I choose to abuse my body with nicotine, I'm going to get lung cancer or emphysema and things that could result in death. I understand the wages of sin is death. If I abuse my body through perversion and lust, I get sexually transmitted diseases that will bring about disease that can lead to my death. The wages of physical sin is death. But thank God that He freed me from the consequences and He forgave me of the wages spiritually of my sin. There is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Why? Because I'm forgiven. Jesus paid the price in full once for all my sin, and there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins because the debt has been canceled. Paid in full. Next, please. Paid in full. Any questions? Paid in full. Every sin has been paid in full because He has forgiven us. The Bible says in verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness at the end, everlasting life. Everlasting life. Thirdly tonight, why should I yield myself unto God? I'll tell you why. Because of fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. Look at what the Bible says in verse 20, would you? For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. I can remember during a period of time I was working together with a Christian businessman who was a sales trainer, and he went around doing motivational talks and motivational training for people that were involved in the field of sales. And he would always tell them that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. And he would tell these people, look, you've been doing this and it's not working. And so what you do is you try harder at the same thing, thinking that something else is going to happen, and it doesn't. And guess what it leads you to? It leads you to be demoralized and unfulfilled and frustrated, and you don't have any results to show for all of the time and energy invested in what you're trying to sell. That's one of the most frustrating things you could ever imagine, is to try harder at something that is futile, only to see more energy expended, more frustration built, and no results. I'll tell you one reason to yield yourself unto God, and that is because it's the only way you will have any fruit. It's the only thing at the end of the day that you will have. Everything else will pass away. The world and its lust, the Bible says, they pass away. Whatever it is that you've invested in, it will be gone. What fruit had you in those things where you're now ashamed? What do you have to show for it that's under the praise and honor and glory of God? I'll tell you, nothing. And then we work harder at it. We throw ourselves more at it and we think, well, you know, if I just go after this relationship, that's going to really bring me fulfillment and fruitfulness in my life. And what it may do is it might bankrupt you, make you more miserable than you were before. And you have even less to show for it. What fruit had you in those things wherever you're now ashamed? Praise the Lord that when we yield ourselves unto God and our instruments as instruments of God unto righteousness, we will have fruit that will remain and be under the praise and honor and glory of God throughout the endless ages of eternity. I think about what the Bible says in the book of Daniel. It says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Only one life, how soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. And as we yield ourselves unto God, we understand the fruit that is born as a result of that yieldedness to God is the only thing that will remain when we see Jesus Christ. All the rest of it will go away like wood, hay, and stubble. It will vanish like water through our fingers and sand through our fingertips. Friends, tonight you can pour your energy and your efforts into the sin of this world and you will have nothing to show for it, but the end of that activity will be death. And though you may have life everlasting, you will have reaped certain consequences as a result of choosing to yield yourselves as the servants of sin. And remember, whatever you yield yourselves to, you are the servant of, and you cannot serve God and sin. You are either serving one or the other. Finally tonight, why should I yield myself unto God? The Bible says this, verse number 10, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey them the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. The last reason is this, faith. Faith. Why should I yield myself unto God? Because I want you to notice something, if you would. The Bible tells us here in verse number 2, how shall we that are dead to sin? That's an absolute. The Bible tells us, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? That's a rhetorical question that is given in the affirmative. It is something that is known and that is a verifiable truth. It goes on and it says, if we have been planted together in the likeness, again in the same sense, it is an imperative, it is a known, we are planted together in the likeness of His resurrection. Verse 6, knowing this, that is an affirmative, that is an affirmation. The Bible says in verse number 8, now if we be dead with Christ, that is also in a similar tense. And then we believe, that's not we think or we hope or we might, in verse 9, knowing that, that's in the affirmative, here's what we know. In verse 10, Christ died once for sin. And we could go through every verse in this chapter and find the affirmation of God, and that is this. You can trust Him. You can know what God will do. You can understand what God is doing. And you can trust what He is at work at in your life. He can be trusted. I can have faith that what He says about me is true, that I am forgiven, that I'm the very righteousness of God, that He's fulfilled all the demands of a holy law just one time and once was enough. And I can trust that. I know that. I have been planted together in His likeness and raised, and I will be raised in the likeness of His resurrection. I know that Christ is dead and dieth no more, and that sin has no longer dominion over me. I know it because God has said it, and I can trust it. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. There are people here tonight that have been going their own way, and instead of yielding themselves unto God, they've said, I've got a better idea. I have a better way to live my life. And you're as miserable and as frustrated and as unfruitful and as unfulfilled as you have ever been in your life. And you just better buckle your seatbelt, because it doesn't get any better from here until you yield yourself unto God. There are those that have hardened their hearts in marriages that are heading south, and they're going to the devil. And I got to tell you, you can keep going the way that you're going, and it doesn't get better all by itself. Yield yourself unto God. There are those that are headed into sin and lust and perversion, and others into chemical dependencies. And I want to tell you, it doesn't get better all by itself. You have the freedom to choose. And I call you tonight on the basis of the goodness of God, because He has set you free, because He has forgiven you, because He has given you fruit that will remain when you do yield yourself as instruments of righteousness unto God, and because He can be trusted, I call you tonight to yield yourself unto the only one that is worthy of your yieldedness, the only one who can be trusted, the only one who loves you so much to give you that forgiveness, to give you that freedom. You know what? Religion today doesn't trust man. But it wants to have man put his trust in himself. So preachers try to preach a threatening message because they think if I don't, man isn't going to do what they're supposed to do. A lot of preachers do that. They try to dangle your feet out over the cockles of hell there, and so you can feel the warmth of it and scare the hell out of you literally and figuratively, so that you'll stay doing what you think God wants you to do. Friends, I want to tell you that's not the reason why. And so religion doesn't have the answer. They don't trust man, but they want man to have trust in himself. They want him to think, there's something I have to do to keep favor with God. There's got to be some sacrifice more that I can make. There's got to be something that I can do to gain greater status or favor with God. And, you know, I got to tell you, there's a lot of talk on religious television about getting favor. Favor, 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 favor. You know, listen. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I have favor as a grace, and as I humble myself before God. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. It only comes on God's terms and God's way. And so, it behooves us to yield ourselves unto God. Remember this. You can choose sin, or you can choose God. Whatever you yield yourself to, you are the servant of. And you can't serve both at once. I can't be loving my wife and entertaining a mistress and say I love her and love this one too. Either the Bible teaches I'm either going to love the one, hate the other, cleave to the one, despise the other. I can't love two. I can't serve two. And we have every reason to say, Lord, I trust You. You never make a mistake. You've never failed me, nor will You ever. You've asked me to yield myself to You, to place my life in Your hands, in Your care, to yield my members unto You as instruments of righteousness that will bear fruit throughout the ages of eternity. And You've not forced me to do so because I'm free. You've freed me. You've forgiven me. You've died once and You paid the debt in full. You've given me fruit so I'm not unfulfilled or frustrated in my life. And You've given me faith to see and know that You can be trusted. So God, here's my hands. Here's my feet. Here's my lips, my eyes, my ears, my mind. I yield them to Your leadership. I will be, as an act of my will, Your servant, because whoever I yield to, I am the servant of. Let's pray together. Lord, tonight, thank You for Your Word. It's so rich and full. And sometimes in a casual passing glance at the Word, we cannot fully wrap our minds and our hearts around it. But tonight I pray that our hearts would be stirred and that we would understand that You're a good God and that on the basis of Your goodness, You call us to yield ourselves unto You.